13 wickets fell on day one of the third test, the day-night test, the pink ball test between India and England. What a manic day of pink ball test cricket we have had, and we are fresh off the block. Hello and welcome to Hotspot Daily with me, Chetan Narula, and Daniel Norcross in London. Daniel, 112 all out, 99 for three. We expected crazy. We expected crazy from this test match. This is almost par. This is just par.
Well, I counted 8 England wickets that fell to balls that went straight on a pitch that definitely did take turn. And there was some terrific bowling. I mean, really brilliant bowling from both Ashwin and Axel Patel. You know, but they weren't getting the wickets with the balls that turned, were they? They were setting the batters up with the ball that turned, obviously. But my word, it was a procession. And I think from an England point of view, it's a kind of a horror show that takes them back in time. The fourth consecutive innings they've been bowled out for under 200 after coming off the back of such three great tests. If Joe Root doesn't score runs, then it seems that England are in big, big trouble. And the only bright spot, you could say, in the day for England was Zach Crawley, who looked fantastic until someone bowled left-arm spin to him. So that's a problem he's going to have to deal with. But there was a glimpse of pleasure for England fans, but there was so much cricket to talk about.
Just to put some context to what you just said, 53 for Zach Crawley. After that, you're looking at 0, 0, 17, 6, 1, 12, 11, 3, 3 and 0. 112 all out in 48.4 overs. As you mentioned, rightly, it was a procession. Dom Sibley, he's not had the best of tours. Out for a duck for Ishant Sharma in his 100th test. And then Johnny Bairstow. He's a bit raw. He has not played too much cricket off late, of course. Sat out those two test matches. Comes in, out for a duck, 9 balls. Akshar Patel with the first ball at his home ground. Zach Crawley and Joe Root, that was the partnership. That was the key partnership for me, for England, if they wanted to get to a good total. And for me, I mean, if you look at, it was 27 for 2 in the 7th over. It was too early for Joe Root to be out in the middle in a pink ball test match, especially in...
Well, he's used to this, Chetan. He's used to this.
He's used to it.
I mean,
go on.
Oh, playing for England, he has batted at 4. He's desperately wanted to be at 4, not 3, because I think it's because he'd like to come in the 7th over, not the 3rd, because this has been his lot for quite some time. Now, look, I will say that it has been a bit better for England's top order in the last 18 months. So we've got to put some perspective on this. England's openers, whether they be Burns, Crawley, Sibley, a combination of those three, has meant that Joe Root has come to the wicket that little bit later in the last 18 months. But in the last 4 innings, that hasn't been the case. I want to say for Sibley, I mean, I did think that the ball that got him was a lovely bit of bowling from Ishan. It held its line just a little bit, and an opener can get out like that. That's what happened.
And it was a good catch. Hodgson.
Good catch. So, you know, I mean, that was proper cricket. I don't think that England are going to be too worried about Sibley's form on the basis of that. It's a standard way an opener can get out. We saw actually Rohit Sharma get out in identical fashion in the first test off Jofra Archer.
Yeah, 47-run partnership there between Crawley and Root. And it looked like it was setting things up because England were motoring along. Not motoring along. They were just there. At least Crawley was motoring along. 74 for 2. And then they collapsed to 112 all out. It was absolutely crazy. And for me, yes, Joe Root got out first. But for me, the turning point came when Ashwin came round the wicket. Bowled that really beautiful delivery to Zach Crawley. Hit him on the back leg and it went up for LBW umpire's call. He was not out. For me, that was the game-changing moment there because from that moment onwards, Crawley was playing beautifully, 10 fours. He was timing the ball so well against the Pacers, was using his feet. Until that point, he was using his feet. And from there onwards, it just went away. Oh, it was like Ashwin has just discovered this magical line from round the wicket to right-handers. And now he's going to run rampant. Yeah, and...
Ashwin had an average of 57 against right-handers round the wicket coming into today's game. And you're right, that ball spooked him. The other thing that happened at exactly the same time was that just after that happened, Stokes had come in. And Crawley didn't face a ball, basically, for about 15 minutes. I think he faced one ball.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was set up by Patel. So yeah, the entire momentum, England's innings only had momentum when Crawley was facing. And he was starved of strike. And then, as you say, I mean, Ashwin bowling that line, did it twice. And the wonderful thing was, you know, you think, how do you get that ball to pitch on and hit the top of off? Because, you know, the batters couldn't have padded it away, hoping it was going to be outside leg. And it, part of it was because he brought that one back into root. And so the right-hander was constantly fixated on the pitch turning back into them, was playing for that turn, missing it on the outside edge, clipping off stump. I mean, it was perfection.
Muthiah Muralidharan used to bowl that delivery coming around the wicket. He used to pitch it just between leg and middle, and then it would either straighten on. He would get the dusra in. It would either straight on, or he would pitch it on the off and middle, and then he would get the turn into the middle and leg stump and get those LBWs. Murali was really proficient at getting those dusras, you know, the pitching the ball on middle and leg. So he was more proficient. He used that wicket-taking delivery. But Ashwin doesn't use the dusra as much. So he gets that ball to come in and land so perfectly and then just, you know, coming into the right-hander. And the fact that you said that, you know, they set up the batsman with turning deliveries. A couple of deliveries from Akshar Patel we saw landing just on about off and middle, fuller length, just short of fuller length, and massive turn away from the right-hander. We saw a couple of those. I thought that, and of course, what Ashwin was doing with Crawley, that really messed them up. When I saw that delivery from Akshar Patel, I knew, like, you know, there's going to be one that's going to come in straighter and that's going to cause trouble. For me, English batsmen lost a mental battle out there today. It was a matter of getting Root. It was a matter of getting Zach Crawley. And after that, it was a mental battle. And I mean, you look at Ollie Pope, 12 deliveries. I have seen people in jail who have more comfortable time than Ollie Pope at the crease today. It was horrendous, horrendous.
What particularly upsetting as an Ollie Pope fan was that you could see that what he was having to do was work out the method he was going to use. And when he applied the method that was the right one, using his feet, coming down, smothering the spin, which he did to Ashwin, he did exactly that. One ball or two balls before the wicket-taking delivery, which was just pitched cleverly, just that little bit closer to leg stump. And that's what was happening, was online. If the ball was angling across Pope, he was more comfortable coming at the ball if it was pitching around about off stump or going to land around off stump. So when Ashwin forced him together, went a little bit more leg side, that turning around, he was less comfortable using his feet to the ball. He was worried about getting done on the outside edge and being done stumped. So he stayed stuck on the crease. And of course, the skill then, and you know, we can say that the England batters had a bad day, but we've got to doff our cap to the skill of the spin bowler, because what Absolutely. We saw today with Akshar and Ravichandran Ashwin was that there's these tiny variations in where the ball was landing and these massive variations in the amount that it was turning with the disguise that's thrown in. Now, you know, you think about the leg break bowler, you think all about the surprise of the disguise of the leg break bowler. Can they pick the googly or not? You often forget that actually you've got to be able to pick the non-turning ball from the turning ball with the finger spinner.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a lot of the skill. And of course, you know, the pace at which they bowl. It was encouraging for England that actually Jack Leach did get at a faster pace in the evening session. And he got the ball to turn more when he did it and was more threatening. But that's because he's got to watch these two. I mean, these two bowlers are perfect in these conditions.
And I mean, who would have thought that England probably got their selection wrong, you know, like we had discussed that this was probably the test match. I thought we would see Anderson, Broad and Archer together. It turned out to be that way for some reason. Chris Wokes was probably, a lot of English journalists probably thought that Chris Wokes was going to play. Didn't happen that way. But at the same time, they don't have a second spinner. And of course, that's a bit perplexing. But again, with Moeen going home and this being a pink ball test, I didn't have much of expectation that they would play two spinners. The fact that you mentioned the pace of the ball, the pace of the delivery from both the Indian spinners, I thought that was very, very vital. Absolutely vital. And also, I think that they have perfected the speed of delivery from the second test in Chennai. And this is where I think Akshar Patel has been absolutely magical. You know, In the first test, we were talking about the fact that India missed Ravindra Jadeja a lot because there was no support really for Ashwin. Bumrah and Ishant bowled well in the first test, but there was no support really. Every time you had Washington Sundar or Shahbaz Nadeem coming on, the pressure that was created was liberated, and Joe Root batted so well. In the second test, and now in the third test, on day one, we have seen Akshar Patel gets that pressure bang on. Something what Jadeja does, you know, he gets that pressure bang on, and then Ashwin comes in and confuses, and then obviously you have the straighter deliveries coming in, and you know, all the arm balls coming in. So Akshar Patel has managed, in terms of bowling at least, has managed to replicate what Ravindra Jadeja does for India in Test cricket in tandem with Ashwin, and it's been absolutely marvelous and probably been the turning point. Shouldn't say turning too much, but yes, it's been the turning point for India in the series.
Yeah, without a doubt, the discovery of Patel in Test circumstances. Yeah. I think, you know, when England saw that he'd been selected, they weren't particularly concerned because they had seen him a bit like a left arm Washington Sundar, in actual fact. Yeah. A bit tall, with a bit of pace on the ball, but without really getting any extravagant turn. But what's been the revelation for them has been to see the amount of turn he's got, and that has in turn spooked them with the really dangerous deliveries, the ones that do nothing. And, and look, anybody who's ever played cricket knows there's nothing more dangerous than a straight ball. So, you know, hats off to him. You saw the pitch map maybe or the graphic of Akshar Patel's wickets in this series, and nearly all of them are hitting the stumps.
Yeah.
And that's the key.
Yeah.
That's the key to how he bowls. As for what it's done to the match as a spectacle, not great, I would say. I mean, I think if anybody's got any tickets for Saturday, they can forget using them. There's a chance that people may get to sneak in for half a Friday, I think, for the third day.
But before that, we need to talk about the Indian innings. 99 for three, maybe one more wicket than they would have liked. Virat Kohli a bit unlucky. And now, you know, it has stretched his streak of not scoring 100 in any format of the game. It goes back a long way. Rohit Sharma playing an absolute blinder, 57 of 82 once again. Been a different innings, but he's there. He's the bedrock. So India, well, trailing by 13 runs, but tomorrow's first hour, if we can say, it's a bit crucial. If India can bat those two sessions, then England will be on the back foot. I know you're raising your finger, so I have to bring this in, the umpire's call. I think that's what you want to refer the catch. Let me put it out there. Ben Stokes catch. There was no doubt there. No, that was not out. Probably the Rohit Sharma stumping, that's where the third umpire could have used a couple more angles.
Well, I agree with both of those. Yes, I don't think there should have been any kerfuffle over the Stokes catch or not. There's every chance that he does think that he caught it. Yeah. Every chance that he does. But I'm afraid with the visions, the pictures that we got, and they were good pictures for that catch, there's no way the third umpire was going to uphold that as a clean catch. The issue that England have got, and it made for less than attractive scenes. It, you know, it's a little bit like when Virat Kohli got vexed
in Chennai,
earlier on in the series.
Yeah,
in Chennai, and it wasn't a great look. Now, what England were trying to communicate was that they wanted the third umpire to double check with different angles. I don't think there was a need actually in the case of the catch that wasn't. But I think with the stumping,
yes,
the big problem with that was that you couldn't absolutely tell that the foreshortening effect you get means that you couldn't tell from the side on camera whether or not Rohit Sharma's foot was grounded behind the line. Now, there ought to be an angle from the stump. This is often the best angle you're going to get for a stumping, especially a really tight line call like that. And the fact was that the third umpire didn't ask for it. Now, what we don't know is if the third umpire had access to it. If he didn't have access to it, then all he can do is go on the images that we've got. And the benefit of the doubt states that that's got to be not out. The problem is that if the process isn't gone through, then this will cause vexation amongst the players, regrettably in this instance, and it wasn't a great look, but you could sort of understand it.
Well, I agree to what you've said. Sometimes what happens is that you get to hear the producer and third umpire have a bit of interaction. Sometimes it just plays out and the producer sometimes says, oh, do you want more angles? So the third umpire asks for more angles. I think we don't know what really happened. Did he not have access to more angles? And I'm talking about the stumping here. For me, the catch was absolutely clear. We did not need more angles on the catch. We did not need. It was very clear from that one replay itself. It was very clear. And there's a lot of debate on Twitter. And some people said, you know what? Sometimes you can't tell from one angle. Yes. And of course, the soft signal was out. So that was an issue as well. But for me, because of sometimes of the speed of play, the on-field umpires can make a mistake. So maybe it was that sort of an incident where because of the speed of play, edged, catch, taken, right, that sort of thing, maybe they made a mistake. But in my view, the catch, there was no doubt that only one replay was needed there. I absolutely agree with you about the stumping, that probably the stump cam would have been the best angle for that. However, it needs to be understood whether he had access to it, or obviously we could not hear him ask for it. That was the thing. So look, the third umpire is liable to ask for this. And I've been a strong advocate of umpires being made to explain their decision-making, not to the fans or the players in general, but the match referee, to the ICC. And the ICC needs to make sure that the umpires are they're held liable for their decisions. And I'm not just talking about right now. I'm also talking about the 2019 World Cup. Again, this might sound bad for an English fan, but I mean, there was a lot of debate when those overthrows had gone off Ben Stokes, whether should have been given as overthrows, whether they should have been given as four runs. So a lot of debate around that. So the umpires, I absolutely believe sometimes they're standing and they just refer when they don't need to refer. I remember this incident from last year when Australia were touring England and Alex Carey actually broke the stumps with his gloves and the umpire referred and the shot had been played to cover and the back foot was nowhere near the stumps and he just broke the stumps with his gloves. And I was like, what is square leg umpire doing? Why does he need to refer that? So the umpires and the referees, they need to be held liable for their actions. They should have point system deducted or, you know, match fee deducted for these instances where they make the wrong decisions, or something like this, where the match referee should go and tell him, listen, you need to check more angles.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not after punishing the guy because it's not it's a game of cricket ultimately. Yeah. And I'm sure he didn't do it maliciously. Yeah. I suspect it's because he doesn't have access to the other angle, because he's a highly trained umpire, so he'll know that he can go through various processes. I think what was regrettable there was that it wasn't made clear. Yeah. So what you've then got is, and I'm not condoning this by any means, but you've got an England team that's massively under the pump, that's losing badly, has had a really bad day, and I think they did control their temper. It didn't get a look. I mean, I remember back in the 80s when Javed Mir, Dad and Dennison would go at each other with cricket bats. I mean, it wasn't an unedifying spectacle beyond that. But you know, if we're going to be quite rightly censorious of how Virat Kohli was in Chennai, then we're probably going to be censorious about how Joe Root was here. But that wouldn't have happened if, and I think this is right, actually, if you hear the third umpire say, do you have any more angles on that?
Yeah.
And if he hears no, then that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then that's it. Then you have to, like, that's the way the cookie crumbles. If he does have another angle, then he just needs to look at it. Because if you go through the process, the point of the third umpire is to go through the process to be clear that the decision has been arrived at with all available evidence. And that's the last I will say on the matter. The last thing I want to say, though, is very briefly, I take my hat off to Ajinkya Rahane, who walked out to bat with four balls in the day left. That be a lesson to every batter out there who hides behind the night watchman. Look at the balls of that man. That's what you need. The ball was turning at the time as well. The last thing you want to do is go out and face four balls, and he did it very well.
And when Ajinkya Rahane was coming out to bat, I absolutely thought of you, Daniel. This is what you're going to say. And with that, we come to the end of this episode. You've already heard Daniel say that he thinks it's somewhere around Friday afternoon this match is going to get over. I think maybe, it might creep into the fourth day. We'll see where our predictions end up going. But again, join us tomorrow after day two's end of play. Until then, it's me, Chetan Narula, and Daniel Norcross signing off. Goodbye.